All right, there you go. And welcome to the Reality Check here on Revolution Radio. It's the 21st of September, and it is certainly wet and a bit damp out there, to say the very, very least. And I actually believe that we've got the edge of two storms. Oh, yeah? And I could be wrong, but I believe one of those storms is called Nigel.
Is it? Are we down to the ends? Because they go through the alphabet, don't they?
I don't know. I just had... in fact, I had Serena. She messaged me this morning and said, you're the storm. You're on the way. And it's like, yeah. What? And, you know, so, yep, Nigel is officially a storm.
Ah.
Quite happy with that. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about the way that we think. And does that have an impact upon the way that we are and how we present ourselves? And more importantly, if we're going to be changing the way that we think, how is that going to impact upon our future and how things actually unfold in front of us?
Mm.
But before we come to that, as usual, we're going to go over to the captain of the chair. Glenn, how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing really good.
You had a very special day this week, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it was very special. I had a birthday. I mean, everybody has birthdays, so I can't claim that it was in some way special. And it wasn't one of the ones that people define as being special. It was kind of... I'm 38.
38. Well, I tell you, I thought it was a special day.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, birthdays are something that I don't necessarily celebrate, you know, but...
I just forget throughout the day, and then I keep getting messages from people saying, and I'm like,
happy birthday. My birthday today.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah, I think it's lovely. And I think it's something that we don't really give too much thought about. But that was the beginning of our physical journey.
Mm.
You landed here.
Yeah.
38 years ago, you were probably in the arms of mom or dad right now, being cuddled and gooing, and people coming and looking at you and saying, "Ooh, look at him, he's lovely."
I mean, you'd like to think so. I don't know. I don't remember. But I suspect so.
You'll have to ask your mum.
Yeah. Well, my mum once said to me that you, she said, you might want to celebrate your birthday, but for me, that day marks a fairly traumatic time in my life.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and I don't think she meant that from the point of view of not wanting to have kids or anything.
Just difficult.
I came into this world like a wrecking ball. I think
nothing's changed.
I can say that. Yeah.
You just did. And it was actually a good song as well.
Yeah.
Good connection. Well, today we're going to talk about the way that we think. You know, on the Revolution Radio Reality Check, we have been talking about how we manage life, how we manage our thoughts and our emotions. And it's been quite fascinating because you were away last week or the week before.
Week before last.
Yeah, and I was away a few weeks ago.
Mm.
And we've both said how amazing to have that break away from just everyday things, but also almost having that reality check.
Mm.
Because you came up with, whilst you were away, with a number of different statements that, right, I'm going to do this every day.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's sort of, you know, we talk all the time about our essential ingredients of happiness.
Mm.
You know, and for our listeners that don't know what an essential ingredient of happiness is, it's those daily things that we need to have in our life that are going to ensure that we are happy.
Yeah.
You know, and doing some of those things that you did whilst you were away, and I'm going to ask you the question in the meantime, have you continued them?
Mm.
Those are the things that make us happy. So have you carried on with them?
Yes, absolutely, as well as I can. I mean, there were two main things that we did, and we were only away for a few days. It was kind of just Friday to Monday.
Yeah.
And each day... apart from, I think, the Sunday, there was a thunderstorm, and I thought it wasn't a good idea. But each day we got up in the morning and we went to the beach first thing and went for a swim in the sea. And it was a bit of a walk to the beach, and then we walked back. And it was quite nice. And we did that. I haven't carried that on solely due to geographical reasons.
Okay.
Northampton's fairly central. We're probably as far from the sea in every direction as most as any other town.
Yeah.
So I've not been able to carry that on. But the walking, absolutely.
You've been away, and again, I went away, and very similar. We were both, you know, I was swimming in a lake every day. You were swimming in the sea every day.
We were
both walking. And it really did have an impact on me because I had that determination of saying, okay, I'm loving this. I am going to be doing this as much as I can. And you've carried on. What is the difference? that it's made to you.
Yeah, it's been pretty massive, actually. And it's such a simple thing. So it's like, I'm not talking about a long walk. It's kind of in the morning, me and Amy get up and we go for a walk around. There's like this nice little lake around the back of our house with swans on it. And it's like, it's really nice. And it takes about 15 minutes to walk down there, walk around the lake and get back. So 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how quick.
Yeah.
It's something that we've done like occasionally anyway.
Yeah.
But it's always like once a week, maybe once every couple of weeks, and sometimes it'll be twice a week. But it's like, it's quite sporadic.
And yeah,
it's
yeah.
just whenever either of us get up early enough and go, let's do it. But we've got to a point now, and I think I have to say it's easier when you both commit to something like that, because you both kind of, because there are days when I wake up and I'm like, I can't be bothered. But Amy's like, no, get up, we're going now. And it's like, no, you're right. And vice versa as well.
Absolutely.
So we both kind of are accountable to each other, and that accountability brings, because it's very easy to just give up on ourselves, isn't it, really? Which is the worst thing, but it's you're not letting anyone else down but yourself. And as long as you've reconciled that, even though you know it's not good for you. So this has been, we're like over a week now, every single day, even if we don't want to, or if it's raining or whatever, I've just kind of built it into the routine.
And what is the difference?
I just feel generally, well, I think for one, it wakes you up a bit more. Like, rather than getting up and kind of moseying around and making a drink and then, oh, I better get in the shower and get ready and should do some work sort of thing. Which again, I find, because I was employed for the longest time, but now I kind of work for myself. I also have to be a bit more regimented myself with that stuff, because I haven't, you know, if I don't turn off my desk at 9 o'clock, there's no one ringing me going, where are you? You're supposed to be here.
So
you've got all of that. But I think I just feel generally more motivated, because I think doing that gets your body moving. It gets the chemicals firing around. Yep. You're going out, you're looking at things, interacting with things, smiling at people, saying good morning.
Absolutely.
You know, looking at the ducks and all of that. So by the time I then get home, I'm awake, rather than that kind of maybe being in that kind of still sleepy state for like an hour after getting out of bed.
I think that my morning routine has completely changed over the last few years. I've always done my morning mantra, getting up and using the little boy's room and cleaning my teeth and chanting, no one's going to spoil my day today, including myself. And I used to enjoy and eased into the day.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think, you know, and it was part of my essential ingredients of happiness. I want to be able to get up, relax, have a cup of tea, you know, and just sit and just allow myself to come around. And that could have varied from 10, 15 minutes, and depending on what was going on with the day, that could last up to an hour of relaxing. And I used to think, no, that it's a great way to start any day, you know, and you're up, you're now awake, you go and do whatever.
And I suppose for you, a sage has helped with that, hasn't it? Because
having sage,
because that's that accountability to sage. Sage absolutely. Will want to go for a walk regardless.
And you know, there's only one day that I don't get up and we're out for like just after 6 o'clock, and that's on a Wednesday, because she goes to doggy daycare Wednesday, and she has a great play with Humphrey, and that's the only day that I still get up on a Wednesday morning at 6, and I do take that time. You know, Sage has a bit of a play in the garden and we mess around, but it is about making sure that we do change what it is that we know we need to change.
Absolutely.
Today, we are talking about the way that we think, and we're talking about how do we keep ourselves accountable, how do we motivate ourselves, how do we inspire ourselves. And there are some things that we've just been talking about, is that you've been away and you decided to carry on this walking, and it's making a huge difference. It's starting to wake you up. There's other things you were just mentioning, that you've also continued but also extended your gratitude journal.
So this is something that some listeners on the show, long time listeners, will have heard me talk about before, but I've got a couple of journals that I do, and I try and do it daily. And ever since coming back from my break, I have done it daily. Literally the same accountability of going for a walk, and I've kept it within that level of importance, I suppose I would call it. But previously I'd kind of dip in and out of it as and when I needed it, knowing that it's good for me, but like most things, life gets in the way sometimes if you're not strict and regimented with yourself. And gratitude journaling is something that I would implore anybody to go and have a look into, because it's something that's a very powerful mechanism. It's very easily accessible.
So you're saying that. Sorry to interrupt you.
I will,
But I wanted to just go into this because I think this is a really powerful thing. Journaling.
Journaling, generally, which is the other thing that I've been doing. Yeah,
so powerful. But gratitude journaling, this is where we are really making note and thinking and actually not just making it up, but what am I grateful for today?
Yeah, and it is as simple as that. And noticing is, so you said of note, that's exactly right. Noticing is possibly the first stage. When I started reading into it and the sort of the science behind it, the first thing you do is just noticing things, just making a note of things that maybe make you happy or bring you joy on a day-to-day basis. And it could be really small. It could be anything. It could be someone smiled at you or held a door open for you.
Yeah.
It's noticing those things. And then when you've started to notice those things, so it becomes like habit and routine to notice those nice things that bring you happiness, then you start to build the gratitude in at that stage. Yeah. You start to be grateful for those. And it's as simple as saying, I am grateful that someone held the door open for me. I'm grateful that my partner made me a cup of coffee this morning. I'm grateful for music. I'm grateful for the bird song. Any of these things. And you don't have to, you know, I write it down and I've got a journal. You can get online gratitude journals. They're structured. So mine kind of starts and it says, you list three things that you're grateful for today. Yep. And then it actually, in the one I'm on at the moment, it has like, and you write a positive affirmation about yourself, which is the I am exercise that you've talked about a lot, Nigel, on the radio. And then finally it says, list one to three amazing things that happened today and how did they make you feel? And you write that as well. And that's just quite a short, you know, few bullet points a day. But by doing that, you're noticing, you're recognizing, and you're being grateful for things. And that has a way of, and I'd have to go back and look into the science again, but it's essentially the positive benefit that has on your mind state. Is really it's something that they're only really starting to see now and realize the power of it, really.
Because I think it is what I was really grateful for today is that somebody told me that I'd saved their life.
Wow.
I always just say thank you so much for telling me that.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that we talk about, and I talk about this every day, you know, in session with people, in group work, whatever it is that we're doing. And there are those occasions where people say, that's a little bit egocentric for you to be writing all this stuff down. And, you know, it's about, for me, when we actually start to accept that, for example, your gratitude journal.
Mm.
Guys, if you're out there, you want to start this, have a go. You don't need to go online and buy the gratitude journal.
You don't even need to write it down. I mean, me and Amy, sometimes if we're having a day where we're like one of us is, you know, or maybe there's some negativity coming through and you kind of feel that, we'll just do it in the car on a journey. You just say, I'll be like, I am grateful for this, and then pass over to Amy and she'll say, I'm grateful for this, and you just do a few back and forth because it has the same effect. It still works.
Power of thought. The way that we think has the impact upon the way that we are and how we enjoy life.
Mm.
We've talked about the gratitude journal. You've talked a little bit about when, you know, we don't just need to write it down.
Mm.
It is about bringing this out. And I think that, for me, is the key to everything. We've all stopped talking about ourselves ambitiously, positively. And a lot of people that I begin conversations with, it's almost like they're embarrassed to talk about this.
Well, yeah, and actually I think that's why gratitude is such an amazing thing, because you can write it down privately. You don't have to tell anybody. If you don't feel comfortable doing that or even saying it aloud, you can do it in your head. You'll have the same reaction. You're using the thoughts. It will still have the same benefit to you. Yeah. To go back to something you said just slightly earlier, Nigel, about people that may say, oh, that's a bit egocentric, or that's a bit, you know, well, why are you doing that? I always think that tends to come from a place of like insecurity, and people that don't feel, either they feel that they don't need that because they've got everything they need in their life, or they haven't, but they don't know what they're missing out on, so they're not sad. I suppose thinking back 10, 15 years, maybe at a stage I was that person, you know? I only really discovered a lot of this sort of self-development stuff in my early 30s, and I've been working and looking at different things, and, you know, like many people, they go on this kind of journey. I don't really concern myself much with what other people think. I think I've mentioned that on the show before. Because it's not productive. It doesn't help me in any way. So But what I would say is, if you are find that you're constantly surrounded by people that say that sort of stuff to you when you're trying to do something that makes your life better, more enjoyable for you, you might want to question whether those people have actually got your best interest in mind.
Absolutely.
And whether they're really your friends. And I would possibly, if they maintain that state after you've kind of explained to them, well, I'm doing this for me, yeah, and I think it's important to me and I'd appreciate the support. If you don't feel like you can have, yeah, that conversation with that person, run away. It's as simple as that.
It is. It is, because, you know, and I'm not quite certain of the data, but in regards to friends, how many friends do we have in our lifetime?
Mm.
I think, if I remember rightly, statistics would suggest that we have about 8 friends throughout our whole life.
Yeah.
The rest of people are acquaintances. Yeah, and people that you know. And yeah. But when you do get one of those friends, it is really important, because something else that you said earlier on, which actually falls into everything that we're talking about today, excuse me, is about having that companion.
Mm.
Now, you know, Amy is your companion.
Yeah.
Not only is she your wife and your best friend, et cetera, et cetera, but
yeah,
in regards to this exploration of who it is that we truly are,
yeah,
she is the one there that will give you a gentle kick to say, no, come on, up, we're going out for the walk. And also you are her companion. And you give her a gentle,
absolutely,
kick to say, come on and do this.
And I'm very aware of how lucky I am to have that, because I've seen it with other couples where they go on this, where one of them wants to go on this self-development journey, yeah, and the other one doesn't. And that's tough. And I've seen it break relationships.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard.
But one of the things that we are going to say, and we're going to put this across there, it shouldn't stop you.
No.
And you don't necessarily need to have your partner, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, you don't necessarily need to have them as your companion, but you do ideally need to find a companion that will give you that gentle nudge.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point as well, because actually, yeah, even if that person says, do you know what, I'm not on the same journey, yeah, as you, I don't want a part of it, as long as they're not then also trying to sabotage and stop you from doing that.
Yeah, yeah,
say,
yeah,
look, you do that, that's great. Yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But that's fine. But it's where there's an actual, like, effort to be like, and again, like I say, that comes, yeah, from usually a place of insecurity in, yeah, that person. They it's something they want to, yeah, do, but they don't feel comfortable or strong enough, yeah, in themselves to do it.
We're just talking there a little bit about having a companion, and yeah, it's great when you've got, you know, the person that you love and you live with and,
yeah,
have that relationship with, and they become your companion, and you're both on that sort of hymn sheet of self-empowerment,
mm,
you know. And actually, it's great to have. I used to go to the gym, I used to love having a training partner.
Yeah.
It was great. And I used to love some of the occasions. I would be the chaser and I'd be chasing them and they would be, you know, pushing more weights or doing. And then other times, you know, I'd be the follower and somebody would be chasing me.
Yeah.
I love it. And I think that the vast majority of individuals that I'm talking with, you know, that concept of talking with somebody else about themselves openly and honestly, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, and actually having somebody keeping us accountable, that's a little nervy too, because we have got so used to not just not talking about ourselves ambitiously and positively, but we've also got used to justifying to ourselves why we're not doing it. Mm. You know, and that justification, it really does come down to sometimes as little as can't be bothered.
Yeah. And other times it's programming and conditioning as to how we believe that we should behave based on the information that we've taken in our life through various means. But that can be as simple as watching films, watching TV shows, seeing how people behave, what we learned at school. All of those things affect our worldview, but they're not necessarily right.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily correct, and it may have other motivations.
You know, one of the most intriguing things that I go through is, and I wrote a post on this the other day on our social media platform, which is allowing myself to go down that path of thinking, because I have some crazy thoughts, you know, like everybody else,
yeah,
of what I should do or what I should say or where I should go, et cetera, et cetera. And they are absolutely ridiculously crazy. But then there are some thoughts I have to take a bit of time thinking, okay, so how about that then? And I allow myself to go down the rabbit hole, seeing how far I get before I say, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what is most important here, guys, is what we're saying is this week, we want to give you a challenge. And as Glenn said, start to observe. That's the first point. Observe, what are you grateful for?
Yeah.
And think about it. And actually, if you can actually explain it to somebody, great. But if you can't, write it down. If you don't want to write it down, at least say it to yourself.
Say it, think about it, put it in your notes on your phone and lock it. Yeah. There's loads of different ways you can approach this. But yeah, and if you're not, if it's something like, oh, I want to do that, but if you're anything like me, you'll then get caught up in doing something and you get distracted and you forget about it. Maybe set a little reminder on your phone for a time in the day when you know it's going to be quiet to just spend a minute, 2 minutes.
Technology these days, and you know, I think all of our listeners now know I don't really do technology, yeah. But you know, it's quite funny, I was only moaning just a couple of minutes ago, I've actually messed my watch up. Give it a go. That's all we're saying. Give it a go. Challenge yourself to figure out what it is that you're grateful for. And please remember, how you describe yourself is how you actually start to translate yourself. So if you're going to be saying to yourself, I am kind, that's the kind of person that starts to present themselves. I am loyal, I am lovable, I am cuddly, whatever it is you want to decide. That's brought us to the end of our show. We want to say thank you so, so much. Next week, we have got a real special show. We have got Serena coming in, and she is going to be interviewing somebody called Cheryl. And that is going to be really exciting to see what comes up from that. But until then, have a great week, and we'll catch you soon.